Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In the case of Brad Stevens, you have a situation where this man, Gordon Hayward, starved for you at Butler. And could it be that you're willing to go up against everything that made you a great coach because you want to take care of your guy? Then there's the element of Boston, Massachusetts. They don't just want a star. Of course, they'll take any star that they can get because their priority is winning. But everybody and their mother know that, particularly when it comes to Boston, if we could have a white superstar, that would be even better. And they viewed Gordon Hayward as having that kind of potential.
I love that. I love that whole theory. So our priority is winning here. So apparently we'll take any star we can get. But then in the end, if it's between a black guy and a white guy, we're gonna want the white guy, right? So he's basically saying, in the end, it still is all about race, and we have a preference.
That's his personal opinion, though.
Right.
This is not.
Oh, it's a report.
It's a report.
It says report.
Throw that in the trash.
Celtics players sensitive to Boston fans preferring white stars.
Honestly, throw that in the garbage.
After he made that quote, he went on and said, "So all those things considered, the players recognize this." They're aware of this. And ultimately, those who are compromised to being having to be on the court with Gordon Hayward were sensitive to it. The players recognized this. They were aware of this.
Which player?
This is not his opinion.
That the white guy's getting the start because he's white?
This is not his opinion.
I think it is his opinion.
No, but I'm sure he didn't play it like that at first. He's talking about how, listen, this is the way it is. The players recognized it. They're sensitive to it. You know, so he's not... This isn't an opinion. According to him, he makes it sound like this. Stephen A. Smith, he's making it sound like he's talking to some people.
He's teetering here. So not sitting there telling you a specific player told me.
This is a guy that's got credibility in the game, trying to use his credibility, you know, and people just assume that if you're going to say that, given who you are, that it's true, that this isn't just an opinion. Because you're telling me that the players recognized it and they're sensitive to it.
Now, which player is... So should people go up and ask the players and try to find out whether the players believe this now?
I would too. I mean, I would ask Danny
Ainge. You're one of those writers. I would go to Brad Stevens.
Here's what Stephen A. says.
Brad, do you have a problem in that one of your players, it happens to be white, and that there's resentment with the other players on the team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Explain that?
Yeah, but apparently Stephen A. Smith today, he doubled down on the whole thing.
Yes, I did go on to say. To talk about the city of Boston, alluding to how it would prefer a white superstar. I didn't say you don't want a black superstar. I didn't say you wouldn't accept and absorb a black superstar. When you won the championship in 2008, I saw how rabid, how great that Boston fan base was. Doc Rivers was a black coach. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rondo, Ray Allen, all brothers. Boston has evolved. Boston has come a long way. And I get all of that. I'm not excoriating Boston. I love the city of Boston. But the fan base in Boston is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I love coming to Boston. And those fans are phenomenal to me. But Boston's a little bit different than most towns. You do have some history.
Like most towns.
And even though it's not filled with the venom and vitriol that once existed in that town, is there a preference that I believe potentially exists? Absolutely, I do. I'm not apologizing for that. Not at all. Because I know a lot of folks in there, even the a-hole that I had to deal with on WEEI. That's just one person. It's a lot of people on that station that's good people.
He's not here anymore. He's not here anymore. So you can put us all in one bucket now.
Kirk's gone and they're still going at him.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They're still suffering.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, it's amazing. Like, there's more.
Guys, he's got
the
no
history
report
of Boston,
here. It's his opinion.
There's more racism in the history of Boston than there is in Mississippi.
L.A.
I'm just saying, like, you know, L.A. LA. Like, just,
no basketball team.
But it's just, it's insane. Whatever.
Here's what I don't understand. He talks about how he loves Boston. We all recognize that back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, there were issues in this town. And as you just alluded to, well, there were issues in a lot of towns. But we're not trying to bury our history. I think we've learned from our history.
All I'm saying is, like,
right?
You think that there's somebody like, there's some white people in Chicago that love superstars, but like a couple of them, a handful of them, you know, like racists who actually would prefer a white guy on their as a superstar on their team.
Lou, I hate to say it.
Do you think that goes on in L.A.?
Yes.
Do you think that goes on in
Portland? How about Portland?
Seattle?
Well,
you think there's white people in every city? I'm not saying all white people. You think there's some white people in this city? Sure, I'm sure there are. That would prefer a white superstar. I'm not denying it.
Well, wait a minute.
But you tell me that doesn't go on at any time.
But here's the thing. When he talks about it, it is, I believe there could be potentially.
Yeah. I believe potentially there could be somebody in New York City who feels the same way.
Yes.
And I believe potentially there could be somebody in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, in Atlanta.
Boston thing, and that is it. And I don't care about, don't give me in the 50s and 60s. It's the same thing happening.
How about
name
Utah?
A town. Detroit.
How about Utah?
Chicago. L.A., Dallas, we're, keep going.
Utah last night.
New York, keep going.
Russell Westbrook last night. And if you look at this guy, they went into his social media accounts and everything else. This guy's got some bizarre views. And so, therefore, it added a lot more context.
The guy attacked Russell Westbrook.
Right, to what looked like a
verbally.
Kind of a stupid, harmless thing with a player and a fan. Once you delved into the social media accounts of this fan, you suddenly said, this guy's a racist, clear-cut racist. But you're going back to what you just said, Lou. There are certain people out there, and hopefully they're in a small minority, who are white, who might sit there and say, I'd rather have a white
player. I bet there are.
There are certain black people out there that probably say, I'd feel more comfortable if my basketball team, my whatever team,
I'm sure there
had a black player. Okay,
yeah.
We get all of that.
If we could have a white superstar.
Okay, but let's take the entire city here. And Stephen A., I think, knows enough to know that Boston is extremely progressive. Extremely progressive.
Boston's right? A little bit different than most.
Different how? It's more progressive than most. That's what I would say, Stephen A. But in this city right now, he's talking about coming here, and he loves it here. And he never has any trouble with the people here. So does he suddenly think, if he has no trouble with the people here, that we're sitting here cheering and hoping that we can get white superstars?
It's no different than the way people view the Patriots and their receiver core and all the white players that they have. And Humphreys, the guy out of Tampa that ended up signing, that the Patriots lost the bidding war, that ended up signing for the Tennessee Titans. I'm telling you, that's the best thing that ever happened to the Patriots, not getting Humphreys, because that would have just, there would have been three more articles like that.
White guy.
By this Feldman guy.
White guy.
Same thing.
White guy.
But only white guys.
But I disagree with what you just said, because why should we even be looking at the color of the skin if we're talking about getting a player?
You shouldn't.
We should be getting a player.
It's all about
the player.
Of course it is. I 100% agree with you.
We know that, but
he's
right. There's going to be four.
There it is. Oh, geez. Why not Cole Beasley? Why don't you get that guy?
You have some history.
Oh, they would have looked at it and said, geez, let's see. Tyrell Williams is out there. Let's see. Golden Tate is out there. Let's see. Derek Funchess. Tavon Austin. All these guys that are out there. John Brown is out there, right? Who do they go get? They go get the white guy.
What's his three-cone drill? Maybe white guys are faster at the cone drill.
And that's what it is.
We have proof to back it up.
I wish they got Humphreys. And it's not because he's white. It's because I think he's good.
Yeah, you just like the white guy.
That's true. You're right.
Just like the white guy.
It's never going away.
No,
it's always the Boston is such an easy target.
Yeah,
and there will always be to the Rob Parkers of the world, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world. And here's the thing: you can't sit here and praise the city, talk about how progressive it is, talk about how great it is, talk about the fans, and then on the other hand, go, well, you know, I mean, they just want white guys. They just, you know, I mean, I know that that's what they want.
When you think about this team this year, there's been criticism, right, of Kyrie Irving, right, on the phone calls. People listening, people calling in, whatever, any radio station you've been on. Other criticisms. Brad Stevens. Gordon Hayward. Some people aren't happy with Danny Ainge. You know, so it's like, just pick on the white guys. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but they...
Right?
Well, give me an example
of
that.
We're just picking on the white guy.
When we were talking about an Anthony Davis trade, the possibility of an Anthony Davis trade, how many times did we have phone callers who call up and said, I don't want to trade Jason Tatum. I want to trade Gordon Hayward instead, right? We got those phone calls.
Just the black callers, though.
No, I think they were all callers. We got a lot of that. Why? Because they've fallen in love with Jason Tatum. They're not looking at the color of the skin of the individual. They're looking at he's a young player. He's got great upside. And what's Gordon Hayward been? A disappointment so far. If anything, he's totally wrong. Hayward has taken probably too much abuse this year, coming back from a very serious injury in which it's been very difficult for him to do this, to come back. And he's taken heat in this town.
But Celtics fans,
you know, it's no ridiculous. Different.
And it
it's no
to be
different.
What?
Are you going to tell me? I do think that that obviously exists. There are middle-aged white guys, younger white guys, whatever, that look on the court and would love to see a guy that relates to them.
And there are black people that do the same
thing. And you name your city, Phoenix, go up and down the coast and tell me.
That's their issue.
Of course. But it's not specific to Boston.
It's not a prevailing attitude.
And you can't tell me that Boston is leading the clubhouse because of their history in the 50s.
Right.
And what happened to Russell. Go pick a team. Honestly, pick a city.
Utah.
What are we doing? It's just they're an easy target. They're an easy mark. They have a ton of success, so they're constantly being picked on. If this city never had any championships, never hung any banners, never had any parades, and the duck boats never came out, they would not be picked on. If this was Chicago, if this was Dallas, if this was some other big metropolitan city, you would be dealing with the same issue.
But this guy's got the
answer. You don't like white guys in Dallas? You think the Mavericks don't want white guys? How about San Antonio?
How about Dirk Nowitzki?
But the fan base in Boston
is not
phenomenal.
Really he's not a white guy. He's a European.
He's a white guy.
He's a foreigner.
He's a white guy.
He's a European. You don't get credit for him.
No,
don't get credit for him.
It's not just American white
people. He's not
from
the United States. No, he didn't grow up in the cities.
So this guy writes, there is no clear motives here. Not every fan cheering for Hayward did so because he's white. Even the fans who prefer their team has a white star rarely admit it, including to themselves. That's his out. You're right. Lou's right. He's got all these outs.
Oh, he's got outs everywhere.
Yeah.
He's got outs everywhere.
But this is where a perception matters. If Celtics players believe Hayward gets special consideration because he's white, whether or not he actually does, that would lead to problems with togetherness, supportiveness, attitude, environment, all issues Boston players have said the team has faced this year. Has anybody gotten to a fight with Gordon Hayward? I saw a fight with Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown were pushing and shoving each other on the floor. Did that have to do with the whiteness of Gordon Hayward? What was that about?
Well, they leave him out of it. They don't want to pick on him.
Oh, it's two black guys pushing each other. And see, this is what I mean where it's dangerous. So what you're doing is you're coming up with a lame, old, lazy story. You've Googled a couple of old stuff. Oh, I remember when Jay Crowder was all pissed
last
off.
Last year.
Because they were cheering
so
Gordon Hayward. And you put together a whole article that now there's a report that Celtic players believe Hayward is getting special consideration because he's white? Good. I would love to hear what black players are saying that.
I love coming to Boston.
Because I don't buy it.
All you
I think
need
he's
to
lying.
Know, to me, it's like, cause I remember this thing came out yesterday, later in the day. They changed the headline.
Yeah.
The old headline once read, with Gordon Hayward.
No, read the first word. Report.
Report. Report with Gordon Hayward, Celtics players sensitive to Boston fans preferring white star.
See, the report is important, Lou, because that takes it away from an opinion column and makes it news report.
A report. Celtics players sensitive to Boston fans preferring white star. So the original headline was, there's players on the Celtics that aren't happy that fans prefer Gordon Hayward because he's white over them.
That's why they have all these internal issues and they can't connect as a team.
So they changed the headline to, got rid of the word report for you, Glenn. And it says, is Gordon Hayward getting favorable treatment because of his popularity with some fans?
Editor,
come a long way.
They should take some out, but racist.
Right. They toned it down and they obviously made it more into an opinion column as opposed to a news report.
Right.
Like it was fact.
Right.
Jeez.
It's never going to end.
Stephen A. made this all up. It is all
No, but that is his opinion. That is his opinion. He believes potentially, Here, those are the two key phrases right there.
But he didn't sell it as his opinion.
But do you believe he's got a specific player in the Boston Celtics who is telling him this?
No.
I don't either. No. That's the way it's been presented.
He thinks that just all black guys think that there's some sort of preferential treatment for the white players.
I think he could have somebody in the league who's sharing his opinion with Stephen A. as well, so that he can go say, there are people, I'm reporting, people in this league feel this way. But he's just...
How many people did you talk to?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's somebody on another team that's just like, you know, Boston, yeah. You know what? All those guys, man. Boston just wants Gordon Hayward to succeed. That's why he's playing all the time, because he's white.
Unbelievable.
And some guy named Tress Way actually started one game.
Freaking punter. I don't know. We need to put all these together. I don't know which one's the worst.
I hate to use the Bill Belichick
Tress
line.
Way.
Has there been anybody that's been more wrong these days than Stephen A.
No. Him and Charlie Casserly, and put them both in a bucket.
Stephen A. is wrong on a regular basis. Remember the show he did with Teddy Bruschi, and it's Bruschi's rolling his eyes? He's got guys that aren't even on the team.
Well, that was the Hunter Henry comment.
I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derrick Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this.
Standpoint
of Hold on. Do you imagine if he was selling insurance? He would be great, like a door-to-door salesman. If he was selling, look, he's a fast talker, and you don't have enough time to recognize if he's telling the truth or not because it's all in the delivery.
I just find him to be more of a runner than a thrower.
So I got this vacuum cleaner right here. There you go, sucks in, it sucks out, does everything. It does drapes. You can take these attachments off and put it on back. I'll tell you what, it works great. 99.95.
One of the most racist things said on TV in the last month was from Stephen A. talking about Dwayne Haskins. It really was. It really was. Max Kellerman might have lost his job or would at least have been suspended for saying that.
Absolutely.
He would have got destroyed for saying a guy that does not run, that when ran a 40, timed over 5, was like a 5.04 40, who does not run, who's a great passer, who's the best pure passer in the draft, said that he's more of a runner than a passer.
This is a debate show.
Because the color of his skin. Stephen A. Smith said that. If Max Kellerman did, he'd have been fired. At least suspended. And we all know it. Everyone knows it.
And in that case, he didn't even look at the stats, because if you looked at the stats...
Never seen a play.
You never saw the guy play. You didn't look at his stats, because if you looked at his stats, you would find out that he throws the football and he doesn't run. But you're right, Lou. What he did is, he looked at the color of the skin of the quarterback. He looked it up. And he said, oh, he's got to be a runner.
Let me throw myself on.
Because a black quarterback could never be a
better
passer.
That's unbelievable. And nobody took him to task. And you're right. If Max Kellerman says that,
he almost doubles down and says, well, that's my opinion.
But nobody asked him.
That's my opinion.
Nobody asked him even to,
well, my eyes
to expound
this
on it.
And here's the other thing.
Nobody.
He's probably never seen him play. He's only seen highlights.
Would Max Kellerman be able to hide behind that's my opinion?
Yes.
No.
No, indeed not.
Max Kellerman said that. Hey, I'm just telling you, that's my opinion. I'm sorry. I know what the numbers are. You know, he'd lie. I know what the numbers are. Yeah. I know he's not fast, but that's
still,
how,
I think
that's,
he better
that's just
be,
what
yeah.
I think he, and that's what Stephen A. tried to do afterwards as well. I'm sorry, but that's just my opinion. I just view him as that. Even though there isn't a single person that's ever watched this guy play view him as a runner. Not a single person. He isn't fast at all. And he gets to hide behind that's just his opinion. Kellerman loses his job over that.
Yeah, a lot of people do. At least they get, but it's not like this. Nothing has changed. You would think he'd be more careful about just the stats that he uses. And the Dwayne Haskins thing, not just to go back, you can take those highlights.
Nobody's going to take him to task.
He doesn't watch college football. He doesn't like college football.
So then pass on it. Then just say you don't know it. Right. That's what he's doing.
So suddenly they expect
Stephen
A. Smith to be a scout? A college football scout?
Yeah.
No, not even close.
Well, Francesa does the same thing. He talks about stuff he has no clue of. He doesn't watch any of the stuff. And then he expounds on it, and that's where he gets himself into trouble. Stephen A. has made a habit of doing this now, and yet nobody takes him to task, especially when he does something with the with that quarterback. And clearly, if it were Max Kellerman, it would be a different story. Well, you know, we know one thing. He has not forgotten Kirk Minahan.
Even the a-hole that I had to deal with on WEI. That's
he hasn't forgotten Minahan.
Yeah.
Still
won't ever come on again.
Dare and dare. No. All right, 617-779-7937. We open up the phone lines and let you talk about the latest once again. Boston is a racist town story.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Doc Rivers was a black coach. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rondo, Ray Allen, all brothers. From another month, from our, you know, from the same culture. But let's be clear about something here. They ain't Bird. Never will be. They ain't Havlicek. Never will be. You want stories about what it's like to be in Boston? Why don't you talk to Bill Russell?
See, I don't know what he's talking about there because
it was like 60s.
To be honest with you.
I think Russell's the only person who had issues with racism.
You know why they're none of those guys are Larry Bird?
I hate to tell you.
Because they're never as good as Larry Bird.
That's right. And it's been a long time since Bird has played, so he doesn't realize that the fans today that are at the game are excited when they see Kevin Garnett show up. I'm sorry, because it's more of their generation. They didn't watch Larry
and
Bird,
I got
he's missing all
I
of
got
this.
News for Stephen A. No one's putting John Havlicek up on any top five.
No.
I'm just letting you know. I mean,
no.
Larry Bird and KG has got no right being in Larry Bird's class. Sorry. The man's right. A great player. Not in this town.
Right.
Sorry. And it got nothing to do with the fact that he's white, black, nothing.
Well, Paul Pierce.
Bird's better.
Paul
Done
Pierce.
More for this city.
Yeah.
Okay? So, fine. KG, he's up there. Absolutely. You know, McHale. Not because he's white. You know, hell, Parrish. All those guys. DJ. You know, but Havlicek. Yeah, people think he's one of the greats. I'm just talking about, you know, if you ask, you know, Heinsohn, sure, Havlicek is up there. Grab someone off the street, they ain't putting Havlicek on there. They're putting KG and Paul Pierce before John Havlicek. But Larry Bird?
Can I tell you this?
It's got to do with the fact that he's white. He's just a better player.
If we're going to take David Ortiz versus Carl Yastrzemski, do you think most of the people that are Red Sox fans right now would take David Ortiz over Carl Yastrzemski? It's more recent, and it's had a bigger impact on their life. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about old players from years ago when Boston had racial issues. That's what he's doing. And he's trying to compare it or bring it into contemporary times. He couldn't be more wrong. And he's basing it all, once again, on perception. And so when he keeps on talking about this stuff, and these quotes get out there, and because of the way it works these days with the internet, everything he says is regurgitated everywhere out there. More and more people think Boston is a racist town. That's what happens. Kelly's in Amherst here on OMF. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, what's up? I loved the point a little bit ago about how L.A. is also racist. You got the, you know, Rodney King thing, and then one thing people don't think
about. Watts riots. Are you kidding me?
Watts riots, right? One thing people don't think about is, I read a stat that said something like 40-45% of people that go to the movies are actually people of color. But when you watch these movies that win all these awards, they're always white people movies. Other than maybe, I don't know, Black Panther won something, right? So I feel like every city is pretty racist. But just the thought, they're talking about Celtics fans like they don't like black people. I would say if you didn't like black people, you would not be watching basketball.
Well, there was a guy in Utah last night watching a game, and if you look at his social media platforms, it sounds like he's got some issues, and he was out there saying some stuff to Russell Westbrook, and my understanding, he was a white guy, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I don't know what he was talking about.
Is he from Boston?
I have no idea. I mean,
maybe he was on vacation.
If we're going to talk about the Academy and the Academy Awards, that's a whole different.
First off, I watched the Academy Awards. Not too many white movies won. Just the way that it is now, right? I mean, unless they're whatever.
I don't even remember.
By the way,
I know it sucked. It was boring.
Did you take my advice and not watch Roma yet?
Huh?
My advice? I told you not to watch Roma.
He said it was in subtitles.
Awful. It was awful.
Yeah, it's too much.
Subtitles
work.
Are the easiest part
too
of the
much
movie.
Reading.
The easiest part of the movie, even for you.
Subtitles.
It's easy. The subtitles were the easiest
part. Yeah.
The movie was awful. Rob is in Bellingham. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm a frequent listener to your show, and I'm African-American. I would give a couple of examples of why I think Boston has some racism issues, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number one, it starts right there with your channel. When you guys try to imitate like you're talking like a black person, that drives me nuts. I wish you would not continue doing that.
Who do we imitate?
You don't imitate anybody. It's just the way, like, you guys... I'm not even going to go any further with that.
Rob, because I'm curious. We imitate Stephen A., the way he talks. Shannon Sharp, the way he talks.
No, I listen to your channel all the time. And every once in a while, you try to... You know... All right, so that's just one
of... So you're stereotyping how people speak?
No, you just talk like you're talking like a black person.
What is that?
Maybe black people pick it up. White people don't give a damn.
How does a black person speak?
All y'all. Now, let me go on to a second.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it's totally different. For an example, yes, we might do impressions of Stephen A. and a totally different impression of Shannon.
Hold on.
A totally different impression than Shannon Sharp. Are you telling me that all black people speak the same way?
Booyah!
Not Shannon Sharp, not Stephen A. Just in general. You try to make you joke around talking all the time, joking, and you make that little...
Okay, like I think you're wrong, but go ahead. What's your next point?
Next time you go to Fenway Park, I've been there several times. You hardly ever see any Afro-Americans in there. All the World Series, all the championship games, you scan around the park with all the cameras. You see a very few Afro-Americans in there. And now, I don't know the reason for that. Maybe it's not racism. Maybe they can't afford it. Maybe it's all season two.
So, Rob, you're not quite sure why that is, but you want to say that that's an example of racism.
Institutionalized racism, because all the seats in there are probably all taken. They've been taken since... the 30s and 40s.
Well, I think you can buy tickets now.
Why would you bring that up as an excuse, as an example of racism in Boston, and then come out and say you're not quite sure why?
All right, let me finish. You've probably seen other stadiums in other cities. You've seen different games on TV. You see a mixture of people in the stands. Okay,
so then correct? Just say it. That's an example of how Boston
is
racist.
That's institutionalized racism in Boston. Do you agree or not?
I do. Can I give you an example of it, though, why it probably exists? Because I think you're bringing up an interesting point. Okay. So if you're an African-American and you're living in Atlanta, for an example, yep, with a population majority African-Americans and affluent African-Americans in Atlanta, you're going to get a much different environment than you would in Boston, because Boston has one of the lowest black populations of any major city in the top 30 major cities in the United States. I think Salt Lake City might be the only one less than that. So you're right. When you're looking at numbers, there are more Latinos than blacks. There are more Asians than blacks. Certainly a lot more whites than blacks. So it is a population issue. That one, I agree with you. Yeah. Does that make Boston racist if it's a population issue?
Well, the Boston Red Sox organization could reach out to the Roxbury community and then bring some more...
Oh, I think they do a lot of that now. I think they are. I think the Red Sox have been very active in trying to lure minorities to the ballpark and to baseball. I think they have been.
Well, things are getting better. Those are just a couple of points. I know.
Yeah, but you can't look at it because the population numbers are skewed in a certain manner. You can't sit there and say it's racist, right? You can't do that.
Can.
I guess so. Mike is in Connecticut. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Mike?
There's a few things here that piss me off about all this discussion. First off, people like Stephen A. and Rob Parker, they're trying to use issues from the 50s and 60s that describe Boston as a city and combine that with the Celtics as an organization, completely ignoring the fact that the Celtics were the first organization to draft a black player, the first organization to have an all-black starting five, the first organization to have a black head coach. So, I mean, all that noise kind of goes out the window. Does that mean that there weren't individual, you know, jerks back then and then aren't still going to be people like that? No, but that's everywhere you go. And it's like people want to sit there and say that because we had Bird in the 80s, and it comes a lot from the Bird and Magic thing.
Yeah, it's all Bird's fault.
It is. No, it's Bird.
And McHale.
Yeah.
But that's what it
and
is.
And Danny.
Yeah, versus the Lakers.
We were the
Magic.
White team.
Great
Kite. Yeah, everybody else is the black team. But here's another thing, and I don't know if anybody
Rick
brought
Roby.
It up, if they did. But if you look at what happened, the supposed incident with LeBron where somebody spray painted a disgusting word on his property out in Los Angeles, Los Angeles has just as much of a history as racism as Boston does, and yet he still went there. He still chose to go there and play. So if it's a racist city with racists in it, why would he go there? You know, why would you go to a place where there's known racism out there? So it's just the way that the ESPN media tries to spin it. We don't care about what color anybody is. We never have and never will.
Yeah, but the perception exists. And that's why guys like this guy, Dan Feldman, can write another piece. Because he can do a Google search. He can find out that Jay Crowder was pissed off.
Why'd you talk to Bill Russell?
Right, that Gordon Hayward got a standing ovation or whatever. And pieces like this now are just going to add to it. It's going to continue on and continue on. Jim's in Newburyport. Hello, Jim.
Hey, there's a guy named Isaiah Thomas that's going to be in this week. I guarantee he gets a standing ovation.
Finally getting his video this week.
Oh, are we going to give him a video?
Yeah, he's getting his video.
Oh, that's nice.
Way overdue.
He plays for the other team. He's not helping us win. You know what? He used to hear MVP cheers all the time, whether he deserved it or not. And I was one of the guys who loved him, didn't think he was an MVP. You know, we used to get criticism because what was his name? Connor Henry would be the 12th guy off the bench and get cheers. But you know what? Who was it? Darren Day used to get them when people are crying for the 12th man to get off the bench back in the day.
Oh, Scow used to get it too. But the problem is that Scow used to get it everywhere he went. Scow used to get the same treatment when he left here to go to Chicago.
Chicago get the same thing.
If I could say one thing about the baseball. I used to work at RFK and at the National Stadium down in D.C. And D.C. has a heavily African-American population. And, you know, it's not Boston's fault that there are a lot of white people in the stands down there in D.C. It seems that maybe some African-Americans, not to generalize, maybe don't appreciate baseball as much as other populations.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you go to Fenway Park, you know, you don't see many African Americans. You know, but I know baseball and I know the Red Sox. You know, this last calendar year, has anybody been paying attention with what they're trying to do with the black community? And, you know,
I think the Red Sox have done a pretty good job with that.
Good God.
Right. I don't think that's been an issue. Peter's in Jamaica Plain. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
This is totally unfair. Larry Bird is my favorite player, but he's a great player. My second favorite player on he sucked, maybe. But is my second player favorite player on the team is DJ.
Oh.
No, it was DJ. It wasn't Ken McHale. It wasn't Danny Ainge. It was Dennis Johnson. I just love the guy. And since then, I'm racking my brain to think of another white guy.
DJ was
really
white.
Loved. Hello.
Yeah. I like Scott Pollard, personally. He was a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. No, but they, it's been Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett,
yes.
Z Brown, yes. Reggie Lewis.
All right. Yep. Now, we're not doing a show where your favorite white player or your favorite black player.
List them all.
It's not what the show is all about today, I don't think. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm telling you the kind of conversations that I've had with people who know him, people connected around the league, etc., etc. So you have that speculation, number one. And then the big speculation, which is probably what rubbed Coley Mick the wrong way. And I respect that. I respect that. Because I'm getting to a bigger point here that people misconstrue. And maybe it's because my unwillingness to hesitate when it comes to pointing out discrepancies, unfairness, bigotry, racism, and beyond. Maybe that's the reason people assume certain positions that I take. And my response would be, you clearly don't know me very well.
What? So he's tougher than everybody else. You can't do what he's doing. He points out
discrepancies, racism.
Yeah. You don't pick this
shocked
up.
Shocked at the things that come out of my mouth because that's me.
Okay, so that's his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and he's in the take business, and that's what you're supposed to do. But evidence. If you're making a charge like this, there should be evidence. Now, he apparently said that it's second source? Is that what he's saying in all of this with Terry Rozier? Listen to this.
Based on the people that I spoke to, the players were in a quandary. Because on one hand, they genuinely like the guy. He's a good guy. And oh, by the way, when healthy, like he will be next year, he can ball. But because he wasn't 100% healthy, to immediately insert him into the starting lineup took a few guys aback. Number one, because you had guys like Kyrie Irving, who's going to be a free agent, like a Terry Rozier, who's going to be a free agent. Especially in the case of a Terry Rozier, you're looking at somebody and you're saying, excuse me, we're slower when we're on the court with this guy. We're not as potent when we're on the court with this guy. How beneficial is this for us? How beneficial could this be for me? I didn't speak to Terry Rozier about this personally.
He didn't speak to Terry Rozier about this personally. Why would he throw that
so
in?
Third party?
So who was did he speak
a game
to?
Of does telephone?
Does he say who he spoke to?
No.
Okay. No, apparently so, not. Can I just throw this in there? I'm not disputing anything he has said to this point. Gordon Hayward has been struggling since the beginning of the season. He was medically cleared. They tried to get him up to speed. Why did they try to get him up to speed? Because he's their second best player. And yes, he's a guy that they signed at over $30 million as a free agent. But and I understand why a Terry Rozier, a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, anybody else is sitting there going, man, this guy's a good guy, but he's struggling out there.
Everything he said, everything he said is true.
It's true.
Everything he said.
But where's race coming
from? But it's got nothing to do with him being white.
That's it.
Thank you.
Where's that come from?
Leave that part out, and we're all in agreement.
Yes.
We said it. Get the guy out of the starting lineup. Remember talking about it.
Yes.
What is he doing? Why is he giving this guy so many minutes? He's obviously not ready. You screwed up the first 10, 20 games by playing this guy and thinking that he could just bounce back. You should have put him on the bench to start the year. Giving him 15 minutes, 18 minutes. Let himself get into it comfortably. All because he wasn't healthy. He is absolutely right about all that stuff. But
that's
he
why
tried to make it about the fact that he's white.
That's
yeah, the other players were pissed off and irritated because he was getting those opportunities early on, even though he probably shouldn't have been in there.
Can I just throw this out? There might have been some guys over the last month that are pissed off that Marcus Morris is starting, that Marcus Morris is shooting whatever crap.
It's time for him to come off the bench.
Right, and they're looking at it saying, I'm hot right now, especially let's say Jaylen Brown. I'm hot. Why am I not playing more minutes? Does that have anything to do with the guy? Color of the guy's
skin. It's irrelevant because those guys are black.
So what Stephen A. Smith is doing is he's taking a legitimate issue that this team is faced with this year. It's legitimate. And I don't blame Terry Rozier, and I don't blame Jaylen Brown, I don't blame Jason Tatum for sitting there going, man, I want my playing time. I love this guy, Hayward, but man, he can't do it right now, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever. But where does black and white ever come into this? He made that all up. It's all made up by Stephen A. He's doing it. Did the same thing with the quarterback at Ohio State. He did the same thing.
But it's his opinion.
He made it up.
It doesn't matter how blatantly wrong he is. He's entitled to his opinion, and he's not going to back down to no man. So, okay, because potentially could be an issue. So somebody's going to ask Terry Rozier about this, right?
You clearly don't know me very well.
Right? Somebody's going
to... No, he says he didn't even talk to Terry Rozier.
Okay, but somebody obviously did.
They didn't talk to Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier obviously talked to somebody.
Terry Rozier. I don't know. He did. He didn't admit to it.
So where's he getting the story from?
Who
other
knows?
Than he's making it up. He's making the story up. Guys.
Don't you?
I didn't speak to Terry Rozier about this personally.
If you if you're just saying it's your opinion, don't you protect it? Doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Well, it's my opinion, but you're completely wrong. Well, it doesn't matter. It's my opinion. Well, it doesn't matter, but that's not what happened. Well, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, but this,
that's the way I interpret it.
But guys,
so I'm protected either way. I can say whatever I want. It does not matter. I can say Dwayne Haskins is a better runner than he is a passer.
That's just my
even
opinion.
Though he just broke tons of records with the yards that he threw. Like,
just
unbelievable.
Max Kellerman's opinion could be the exact same thing. Of course, Max would have got fired.
Yes,
if he said
Max would have been. He would have been thrown around a little bit.
Yeah.
So I wonder how this guy feels that wrote this entire piece at ProBasketballTalk.com.
Oh, he's happy. What do you mean?
He wrote a whole
feel?
Piece based on Stephen A. Smith's opinion because there's no legitimate report. There's no legitimate story. I mean, we've covered this all year long. We know there have been internal stuff.
These conversations are always a dead end. They're always a dead end, and then the city of Boston is always a target.
They're always, always, always going to be a target.
Yeah, but I don't like this, and it comes back onto the player. So is he saying that Terry Rozier or Brown or Tatum, or one of the African-American players, are actually saying this? Because I think that's critically unfair, is it not?
Or is he assuming that if he was a player on that team, that's what he would be thinking?
Oh, see, that's what it might be.
I would know something was up.
That's what it might be. But you're putting an awful lot. You're right. Somebody should go ask Terry Rozier how he feels about this. Somebody should ask these players. And
he's going to do is sit there and say, I never talked to Stephen A.
Right.
He just said, I never talked to him.
I didn't speak to Terry Rozier about this personally.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but when you throw something out
there.
Why would
you ask Terry
Rozier? Listen, if you're telling me that there's a specific player that's saying this, that's one thing. But he's making it up. Guys, he is just putting two and two together. And that's what he's doing. He's looking at it saying they had issues, they had problems. Gordon Hayward's getting the playing time. Guys are pissed off he's getting the playing time, even though they like the guy. He just said they like the guy, right? We all know that they like the guy. We all know they were jealous of the playing time.
We got such a mix of calls, and it really is funny when you see the comments. I mean, we're going to get to them, right? Or are we going to bail on this?
No, we'll get to the phone calls. We'll get to the phone calls, and then we're going to get to a scandal that has broken out here in Massachusetts, where people are paying huge amounts of money to get into college.
I will say
aren't
this.
You taking, aren't you taking a
your kid's
a
applying, wait, wait, wait. Your kid's applying for right colleges now, right?
Well, I mean, he's not applying. He's being recruited, but he took the SAT.
For crew. Is he applying for crew?
All these offers?
Huh?
Oh, he's getting all these offers.
These
right?
are legitimate offers.
Golf, polo.
No, football, flat out football. But I will say this: I was surprised how irritated, how pissed off I got by the story. I was amazed how disgusted I was by it. When you look at all the things that these parents were doing for their kids, and the length and the money that they would spend to get their kids in a school that the kids mostly didn't even care about.
Okay, and I don't have as big a problem with the parents as I do.
Shouldn't be kissing this kid.
The
like
people,
that.
The people from the school, the people, this crook, William Rick Singer, who was running this college preparatory class. All of these guys, these are the villains in this story, not necessarily the parents. We'll get to that. We'll get to more Stephen A. coming up next.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.